I do not believe that you and I have ever had a more personal, a better heart-to-heart talk than we have been having regarding the great catching up, the rapture of the church. And I just pray with all of the earnestness of my being that I have been making it simple enough that you will have an understanding. I know that I do not have the vocabulary. I am very lacking in so many things. But I pray that the Holy Spirit may have opened your understanding to the deep truths of the Word. Because after all, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this unto thee. It's the Holy Spirit who must be the revealer of the truth. Now we'll continue in our heart-to-heart talk regarding that which I am convinced will be the most startling event of this dispensation. I believe with every atom of my being that there are those living this very hour. There are those listening to me this very moment who will be a part of this great catching up. There are those who are hearing the word of God right now who will be left because you will have rejected the truth. And only those who've been born again, only those whose sins are covered with the blood, who have been born into the body of Christ, will be ready for that great event. I hope all of you have been following me in my previous heart-to-heart talks, and I will not review anything that I have said, but will continue. For if it be day when this event takes place, when the rapture occurs, the event will be very startling, as it was in the days of Noah, the Word of God says. The people will be eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, buying, selling, planting, building. Just stop right now. Look out of the window. Just pause a minute. Think what it would be like if the rapture took place at this very moment. If you're in the city, think of the confusion. Think how just a little rain holds up traffic. Just think of the confusion, the tension that is in the atmosphere right now. If it be during a pleasant time of the year, the boats, the cars, the parks would be filled with pleasure seekers. Think what it'd be like if it be on a weekend. If it be in the midst of the week, the business hours of the day. Think of the shops, the stores, filled with shoppers. The mills filled with men working. The streets of the cities lined with men, women, traffic. Just think about it. Just stop and consider a minute. Suddenly a noise from heaven will be heard, like a great peal of thunder. A startling, frightening thunder. Something strange about that thunder. The people rushing to the doors, the windows, those on the streets, in the fields will look up to see what's happened. And to the vast majority, it'll be but a startling and an alarming sound. For there has been so much that has happened prior to this. So much has happened. And yet, you'll agree with me that there's a tension in the atmosphere these days that instinctively men know within themselves that something even more startling is about to happen. The unrest, the insecurity that every human being feels senses, except those who are born again. I believe that even little children are sensitive to it. I believe it. But when the people recover from their surprised and affrighted condition, they'll discover that a great many people are missing. That the missing were people who believed in the word of God. The large department stores, the banking institutions, the manufacturing plants, and other places of business will find that their working force has been depleted. Those faithful employees, those trusted employees, people walking on the streets will find that their companions are gone. Bus drivers will be gone. Railroads, steamboats, airlines will be crippled. Confusion will reign everywhere. In many homes, the help will be missing. Members of the family will come home and find loved ones gone. And this is going to take place. I am not giving you a figment of my own personal imagination. I am giving you the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. And any human being can stake his very life on anything that's in the Bible. That's God's word, and he's going to keep his word. Your unbelief won't change it one iota. It's going to take place. At first, the whole thing will be a mystery until someone who has heard or read about the rapture of the saints, realizing what has happened, will explain the situation. Somebody will say, oh my goodness, the life. I couldn't stand that woman's voice on the radio, but I sure wish I had listened to her, even though I didn't like her voice. Because I remember one day she said something about it. I remember that one day Catherine Kuhlman said something about it in the Shrine Auditorium. I went to the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles out of curiosity, and I really didn't believe in the miracles that took place, but I remember she said something about that. Could that be it? Somebody said, I remember turning on my television set, and Catherine Kuhlman said something about it. Was this what she was talking about? Some son will say, well, God bless my mother. She tried to talk to me about it, and I wouldn't listen. Would the God I had. At first, the whole thing would be a mystery until one after another, folk will realize that they had been warned, this thing had been preached. They'll begin reading the Bible. I dare say there'll be more Bibles sold than at any other time since we've had the Word of God. Because the whole thing will be so startling, it'll throw sense into some people who don't have a lick of sense now. People will listen then who will not listen now. But the tragedy of the whole thing is that they will have to go through the 7 years of great tribulation here on this earth that will take place after the rapture of the church. That's it. That's where the tragedy comes in. You know, one of the surprises of that day when we had the great catching up will be that so many professing Christians, and among them will be some ministers, some professing church workers, who'll be left behind. There'll be some Protestant ministers, there'll be some Catholic priests, there'll be some rabbis. Oh, think about it. Just think about it. Because the one thing that'll make the difference, ye must be born again. And if you've never been born again, you cannot be a part of the bride of Christ. If you've never had that born again experience, you'll be left. It's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to pause right here and say something because I think it's very necessary. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Know that. There are those who are getting a little too far out. And remember, watch it now. There isn't any person living today who believes more in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled life. Call it anything that you want to. I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit as they were filled on the day of Pentecost. I believe in that experience with every atom of my being. But that experience, beloved, will not get you into the bride of Christ. You're born into this body. You're born into his church through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. The Holy Spirit is giving you for power for service. Please know that. That's the word. You must be born again. And there are millions of people who are making a profession at this thing of being a Christian, who have never been born again. They're going to be left behind. And some folk that you had never really thought of them as being born again. They maybe haven't boasted so much as others. Because, you know, sometimes it's those who are the least secure who have to blow their trumpet the loudest. That's the reason I'm always scared of these people, you know, who wear their little buttons in their coat lapels saying, I am a Christian. I'm leery of them. I really am. I mean that. I'm just making confession. I wouldn't trust them behind a screen door because I always feel that if you're really born again, you don't have to take a placard and hold it up and march down the street and make some big public display of it to convince people. If you're really born again, everybody knows it. You live it. It's a life. It's a daily thing. Yeah. A lot of them will still be wearing their buttons. I am a Christian. You know, they're going to look kind of silly, aren't they? Yeah. And maybe some of the folk who didn't blow so much about it, but lived it. Lived it. Day after day, they lived it. They'll be gone. Oh, for a few days, the excitement will be intense. But remember something. The Holy Spirit will be gone. He'll be gone. He leaves. When the Holy Spirit leaves, he takes us along with him. The raptured ones, the saints. And the Christian is the salt of the earth today. And the salt will have been taken out. And when the salt is taken out, there'll be nothing to prevent the rapid degeneration of those who are left. The salt's gone. The Holy Spirit of this hour is the restraining force. Think how much worse this whole world would be without the restraining force and the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we think immorality is bad now. We think lawlessness is bad now. We feel as though it could not be worse than it is now.
But my friend, remember, the Holy Spirit is still in the earth. He is a restraining force. The salt of the earth, the praying Christian, is still here. The godly are still here in the earth. Think how much worse war conditions will be when the restraining force has been taken away, when the salt of the earth is no longer here. Think of it. I don't want to be here. If it's this bad with the salt here, if it's this bad with the Holy Spirit, the restraining force, still in operation, I don't want to be here after the saints are taken away and after the Holy Spirit is gone. Now, there's some claim that all of the church are to pass through the tribulation. Others that the whole church will be caught up before the tribulation. Some say that only those who are waiting and watching shall be caught up before the tribulation, that the rest must pass through it. Now, those who feel as though only those who are looking for, longing for the great catching up, looking for his appearance, will be taken up. But remember, what about the Old Testament saints? There are many of the saints who died who were not looking for, longing for, waiting for his appearance. They didn't even have the light on the rapture. The Word of God says, all who died in the Lord, all, not just those who were looking for his appearance, but all who died in the Lord will be resurrected. I do not believe in just a partial catching up. I believe that all saints, all born again, men and women, whether they have any light or not, regarding the scripture of the great catching up, we'll go up in the rapture. If the dead in Christ are to rise at the rapture, then I believe also that all those whose sins are covered with the blood, living at the time of the rapture, will go up when the Holy Spirit leaves. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. All then who have been born again are part of Christ's body. And for the life of me, I cannot conceive of Christ's body being divided. His body cannot be divided. Part of it remaining in the grave, part of it raised in glory, part of it left to pass through the tribulation, and part of it changed and caught up to meet him in the air. I cannot conceive of the body of Christ being divided. I do not believe for one minute that his body will be divided.
No, ma'am.
Another thing, the tribulation is not for the perfecting of the saints. It has nothing to do with the church. The 7 years of tribulation that the world must face in the future has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with the perfecting of the saints. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. It's the judgment of Israel. It is God's purpose to keep the church out of it. That's why we have the tribulation, that you and I might be counted worthy to escape the great suffering that is about to come upon the earth.
God the Father loves his children. Jesus loves his own. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Whenever a great judgment was about to strike this earth, he always made a way of escape for his own. Always. The word says, even as it was in the days of Noah. And he tells of the lawlessness, the immorality. He gives us a sign, but remember, even as it was in the days of Noah, before the floods came, before judgment struck this earth, God made a way of escape for his own through the ark. A way of escape for Noah and his family. And as surely as God made a way of escape for his own before the flood came, before destruction came, again in his tender mercy, he has made a way of escape, an ark of safety for his church, the bride of Christ, through the rapture, the great catching up. And I do not believe that the saints of God, not one, even the weakest saint, will have to go through the great tribulation. God bless you.